The Rambam in the Lach lived in Mitzrayim, and over there was a big king named the Sultan. And the Rambam not only was a big tzaddik who wrote the Mishnah Torah, and not only a big tzaddik who had Ruach HaKodesh, who davened and learned Torah and did mitzvahs, the Rambam also was a doctor. And the Rambam not only was the doctor, he was the best doctor in the whole kingdom. And the king asked the Rambam to be his own doctor. If the king had a boo-boo, he called the Rambam. If the queen had a boo-boo, she calls the Rambam.
If the king had a headache.
If he have a headache, or a stomachache, or he stuck his toe on something sharp, he make the Rambam to be his doctor. Or the children of the king. And every day the Rambam would go to the palace of the king and take care of whoever was sick. But Kinalach, in those times, as well as other times, there are those who hate Jews, and those who are jealous. And in the Rambam's, in the king's palace were officers who were jealous, because not only the Rambam was the king's doctor, but he was an advisor. That means the king asks questions to his smart officers, and they tell him the answers. Those are called advisors. Sometimes the king would call in his officers and ask them a question, and they would scratch their head to try to figure out the answer. King. And the king would ask the Rambam, and the Rambam would know the answer. And the other officers were embarrassed. They did not know the answer, and the Rambam, yes, knows the answer. Who could tell me why the Rambam was so smart and knew the answers to questions? Because the Rambam learned the smartest chokhmah in the whole world, which is what? The Torah. The Torah made the Rambam smart, not only in Torah, but in world things. Things in the world, the Torah makes a person smart. And these officers were jealous, and they wanted the Rambam out of the palace. They wanted only they should be the special ones and not the Rambam, because how could a Jew have such covet, and how could a Jew know the answers and not those smart officer goyim? And so the officers made a meeting one night, and they said, let's get rid of the Rambam. Let's get him out. But one of the officers said, but he's so smart, and the king likes him. So how can we get him out? And the officers say, like this, very easy. If we make the Rambam that he doesn't look smart at all, so then the king wouldn't like the Rambam anymore, and he'll get rid of him. Because the Rambam will not be smart. Well, how can we make the Rambam look not smart? Well, let's just wait a few days. I'm sure we'll find something, some way, to make the Rambam look very not smart. And kiddies, the next day, this is what happened. The king and the advisors and the Rambam were all in the palace, and a cat ran across the floor. Oh, the king said, look at that cat. So many cats in the kingdom. More than dogs, you know. Cats everywhere. And an officer said, well, you know, if we took one of those cats and we taught him to be like a person, he would be exactly like a person. Because an animal could learn to be like a person. And the Rambam right away said, I'm very sorry, but an animal could never be like a person. Hashem made animals to be animals. Like we learned in our Chumash class, that Hashem made the animals, their body and their nefesh together at one time, and the person was completely different. First he made his body out of mud, and later on, Eratarayim geblazen, Nishmas Chayim. And we learned that blowing comes from the inside. Hashem's most inside part went into the neshama. It's very halik. A person is not like an animal at all, Chas v'Shalom. Of course, in certain ways, a person is like an animal. But really, he's much higher. And so the Rambam said, an animal could never be a person. And the officers saw that this is their chance to make the Rambam to look not smart. Oh yeah, yeah, I want to bet on it. The Rambam says, well, I'm a Yid and I don't bet, but I can assure the king that it's true what I'm saying. And the officers got up and they said like this, we're going to make a contest. We are going to catch a cat. And for a year, we are going to teach the cat tricks. And we will teach the cat to be exactly like a person. And at the end of the year, if we're right and the Rambam is wrong, the Rambam has to leave the palace and never come back again. And the king says, and what if the Rambam is right and you're wrong? So the officer says, so we'll leave the palace, we'll get another job, we'll work at a gas station or something. But we won't be officers in the palace. And the king gave a clapper from Tish, and he said, okay, so be it. Not bad, Rabbi, anyway. So be it, that's what it's going to be. The contest will be exactly a year. You will prepare yourself, and you will do everything you said down to the last part. If the Rambam is wrong, he will leave. And if you're wrong, you will leave. And the officers left the palace, out to the street to catch a cat, giggling. We're so smart. What a good idea.
Excuse me, hello?
And they caught a cat near a garbage can. And they put the cat into a little cage. And they took the cat into the house of one of the officers. And his wife screamed, get the cat out of here. Oh, no, 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 no. This cat is going to win us a very great coven in the eyes of the king. And many prizes. And the best prize is it's going to get rid of the Rambam. And every day the officers would teach the cat to be like a person. They made him a little suit with a shirt and a coat and a tie and a little hat, pants, cat pants, shoesies and socksies. And they made the cat a little belt. And they taught him how to sit in a little chair by the table with a fork and a knife and a spoon and a napkin to wipe his little beard. His little cat beard. And they served him regular people food instead of cat food. And they taught him how to walk on his feet and to be standing up straight with a smile on his face like this, just like a person. And for a year they taught that cat day and night. They hardly saw their families. When their wife asked, where's my husband? And he's with the cat. A cat, how about that? And kitties at the end of the year was the contest. I will not continue the story till it's absolutely still. Shh. And at the end of the year, in the royal palace, in the royal ballroom, which was 10 times as big as this place over here, they set up beautiful tables and chairs. And the cooks went in the kitchen, and they cooked fancy schmancy hasana food. And over there they sent out invitations to the whole kingdom. Hear ye, whoever wants to come to the party and the contest is invited for free. They will get a delicious supper. And the king will be there and the queen. And all the officers And the guest of honor will be the cat. The cat who became a person. And everybody will see him. And then when the contest starts, the cat will show everybody how he behaves like a person. And of course, the winner of the contest will receive his prize, and the loser will leave in shame. And of course, they thought, Chas v'Shalom, that that would be the Rambam. And the officers, they went to sleep that night in their pajamas, but they were so excited they couldn't sleep. Tomorrow is the contest. Oh, it's so exciting. And that night, they were up bragging to their friends how they're going to win the contest, and the king is going to love them so much, he's going to give them bags of gold, and the Rambam will be fashemt and all the Jews. Shh! I hear noise over here. And the cooks were up cooking, and the band was tuning their banjos and violins, ready to play the music by the party, and the servants were schlepping boxes of fruit and things to cook, and they were washing the floor and setting up tables and chairs. And the officers were up because they couldn't sleep. They were running around the house in pajamas, telling everybody how smart they are. And the Rambam was home learning Torah. Because at night, kiddies, the Rambam learned Torah. He didn't brag to anybody how good he is. And every once in a while, he stopped learning, and he starts thinking about tomorrow. And Kinnaloff, the Rambam did not know exactly what he's going to do. Nothing came in his mind yet, but he trusted Hashem, that Hashem will help somehow, some way, that he should prove them wrong. No matter what tricks the cat learned, he knows that the Torah is emes, and a cat is a cat, and nothing more than that. And a person is a person higher than a cat. And he knows that not only the Rambam is going to be in front of everybody, but every Jew. And even Hashem. Because the Rambam is not only a doctor, he's a Yid. And whatever is going to happen with the Rambam is going to show on all the Yid. And he davened to Hashem, Hashem, out of covet for you, don't let me be embarrassed with Hashem, because my covet is your covet. And all of a sudden, as the Rambam goes back to learning, he sees something little running across the floor. A little mousey. Whoosh! A little mousey ran across the floor. Ooh, all of a sudden the Rambam thinks to himself, everything is hashkacha pratis. Everything that happens, that as Yid sees and hears, this is something to learn from. Sometimes Hashem shows a person something just at the right time. Now usually the Rambam, when he saw a mouse, all he wants to do is catch him and get rid of him, because his wife will scream if she sees a mouse. But this time it was different. He got an idea with a mouse. He got up, he went to the kitchen, he got a little box. He poked holes in the box and got a piece of cheese. He put a little piece of cheese in the box, and he went back to learning. And a few minutes later, the little mousey ran into the box and started eating the cheese, because he loves the little cheese. And the Rambam got up very quietly, walked over the box, and he put the lid on the box, he closed it, and he caught the mouse. And the mouse was inside the box. There were holes so the little mousey could breathe. And the Rambam looked at the little mousey, and he says, you little mouse are going to have a special shlichus. Just like everything Hashem created has a special purpose. Why? Even a mouse, even a bug. And this time the mouse, instead of being a troublemaker, he is going to be very important for the Yid. And the Rambam learned a little bit more. He said Kriya Shema Shalomita. He said a mapil, he went to sleep. And he woke up the next morning full of bitachon in Hashem, trusting in Hashem that everything will work out okay, even though he knows that a lot is against him. And the next day, Kinalaf the Rambam went to the palace, and it was very busy over there with all the setting up and all the people arriving and the guests, everybody dressed up in their fancy schmancy clothes for the contest. And the Rambam, when he went into the palace, the officers looked at him, smiling, "We're going to get you." But the Rambam was not afraid. He put his trust in Hashem. And then the whole day, people were arriving in their wagons and their horses and their camels and their donkeys. Finally, the place was filled with people sitting at tables. And there was a head table. You know what's a head table? Where the most important people sit. And in came the king with his crown and the queen. And the officers sat at the head table. They put the Rambam on the end. And next to the king and the queen was a little chair for the cat. Everybody was excited, and they served the beginning of the food, and the band was playing, and all of a sudden the trumpet sounded, beep, 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 beep. And the king got up and he announced, "Now starts the contest. I want to introduce to you this special cat who the officers claim has turned into a human being, a person." And everyone will see in front of their eyes how the officers changed the cat into a person. And everybody said, "Yay for the officers!" And then the king added, "But the Rambam, my doctor, claims that it's impossible, and he says that it's all wrong and a cat is a cat." And everybody said, "Boo for the Rambam and all the Jews!" And the Rambam and the king said, "And now starts the contest." And the trumpets blew again. And the door opened, in walked the cat. In a suit with shoes, looked just like a person walking in with a little beard. Everybody says, "Hey, ray, ray for the cat." And he walks up to his little chair. And he picks up his napkin and makes it like a little bib. And he picks up his fork and spoon and knife. And he starts eating the food they serve him, cutting it and putting on the fork and putting it in his mouth and wiping his little face with a napkin. Oh, everybody was so excited. And everybody's watching the cat eat. And they say, "The contest is finished. The cat is just like a person. He walks and he sits and he eats with all the kind of ways that a person eats. Let's end the contest and throw the Rambam out of here." And the Rambam, very quietly, as he was sitting there, of course he did not eat a thing. Maybe he had a glass of water, an apple, because nothing was kosher there. Very quietly, he reached in his pocket, and he took out his little box with the holes. Inside was a little mouse. And with nobody looking to see what he's doing, he put the box on the table, and he opened up the lid. And the mouse ran out, and he ran across the table. Well, kiddies, we know that when a cat sees a mouse, he gets so excited because a cat loves to catch a mouse and eat him. Just like you love a piece of pizza or some tafuti or chocolate cake, well, a cat is not interested in that. He's interested in one thing, a mouse. "Give me a mouse and I'll be happy for the rest of my life." That's what every cat thinks. When that cat saw the mouse, Kinalach, he completely forgot about his suit and his pants and his shoes and the whole year that the officers taught him tricks. He became a regular cat wanting to eat a mouse. And the fish and the chicken and the kugel became to him like nothing, because in front of him is running a mouse. That's his delicious candy. Better than candy is a delicious mouse. And the cat ran on the table, jumped up, he threw off his hat, he threw off his coat, and he starts running. And the first thing he does is his foot kicks the soup all over the king, and the king is covered with soup, and he jumps onto the queen's plate, and the kugel flies right into her face and spills over her wine, all over her beautiful white dress, and she screams, "The cat is ruining my dress." But the king is wiping coleslaw off of his shirt, and the cat runs across the table, and he's knocking everything down at the mouse, and they're chasing, jumping off tables, running, until the mouse ran out of the palace, and the cat chased after him down the street past the garbage cans. And nobody ever saw the mouse anymore, and nobody ever saw the cat anymore. And for all we know, they're still running down the streets of Mitzrayim. But the king said, "The contest is over. All of my officers are fired. They can find work in the gas stations in Mitzrayim." And the other officers left in shame. And the Rambam became the great kavod unto all the Yidden. Okay.
A long time ago, there was a very, very shlechta king, and he was the king of Syria. This is a place near Eretz Israel. And this king was very bad, especially to the Jews. He was always thinking of new ways to make gzedus and bad laws against the Jews. And one day, the king discovered something. He was reading an old book that he found that belonged to his family from a long time ago. And in this book was written his Zaydis and his Alter Zaydis, his grandfathers and his great-grandfathers and his great-great-grandfathers, all the way back so far, many, many years before. And he saw that one of his grandfathers from many years before, his name was Haman. Haman ben Hamdasa Ha'agagi. And he says, "Who is this Haman? I never knew this is one of my grandfathers. It says over here, he was a very important, great person." And he showed his officers, and one of the officers said, "This is the Haman that is in the Megillah from the Jews. And this is the Haman that tried to kill all the Jews in one day." "Oh," says the king of Syria. "Aha, my great-grandfather also hated Jews. Tell me more. Tell me more about my great-grandfather, Haman. I want to know more about my family." And the officer said, "Well, one thing it says in the Megillah, and this will probably make the king very angry." This officer also didn't like Jews, and he was doing this on purpose. Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, but of course, it was the king who had to make the law to do anything. And Haman went to the king, and he spoke against the Jews. And the king at first didn't want to kill the Jews because he says, "The Jews pay me money for taxes. And if I kill them, I'm going to lose a lot of money." And Haman says, "Don't worry, king. I will pay you 10,000 silver coins. And you will have plenty of money. You will not even miss the Jews because I'll give you so much money." And the king said, "But wait a minute. If 10,000 silver coins were paid to kill all the Jews, well, why are there still Jews in my kingdom? Didn't my great-grandfather kill all the Jews? What happened? There's still Jews around. Where'd they come from?" And the officer says to the king, "No, you don't understand. In the end, the Jews were not killed. But Haman was killed instead. And everything that belonged to Haman went to Esther and went to Mordechai. And in the end, instead of the Jews getting killed, they got a yontif called Purim. They ate humantashen, they dressed up in costumes, they make parties, they have a big happy day, all the kids are happy." And the king got very angry. You mean my great-great-grandfather Haman paid 10,000 silver coins for nothing? Then he didn't get anything for it? What a waste of money! This could have been my money because it could have come down and be passed from father to son, and I would have had those 10,000 silver coins. And instead, the money went for nothing. Those Jews are responsible. The Jews are responsible for the money my poor great-grandfather Haman lost, Nebuch. And so the king said, it's time for a new law against the Jews. Not against the Jews. It's only fair. I want my money back. That money could belong to me. And he called the Rav of the Jewish community. He called the leaders. And he said they must come to the palace at once. And messengers of the king went to the Rav of the Jewish community, of the Jewish neighborhood. And the Rav went with some other of his people, the leaders of the Jewish people. And they went to the king in the palace. And the king started to scream, you Jews have to pay me 10,000 silver coins in 24 hours. That means at the end of one day, you have to pay me all of that money because you owe me that money. Because my great-great-grandfather Haman lost that money. He never got anything for it. The Jews are responsible. I give you 24 hours to pay me the money that you owe me, or else every Jew will be killed. I'll do what my grandfather couldn't do. I'll kill all of you. And the Rav went back, and he told the Yidden what was happening, what the king was trying to do. But he said, don't be afraid. Just like in the time of Purim, Hashem helped the Yidden, Hashem will help us now, but we have to do tshuva. And so they gathered the men and the women and the children into the shuls, and they started to do tshuva, to fast, and give tzedakah, and to say tehillim, and to learn Torah, and to do whatever they could. And the Rav said also, besides trying to put things right between us and Hashem, we have to do anything that we can to change things in the world. Maybe there's something more we can do to change the king, that the king should not be so upset at us. Because he knew they could not get so much money in 24 hours. That was so much money. That was like millions and millions of dollars. Maybe there's something more that we can do besides the Tehillim and besides the Tzedakah. And the Rav said that close to Syria, in Eretz Yisrael, in the city of Tzfas, is a great, great tzaddik. And his name is the Arizal, the Yari HaKadosh, a great Halakha tzaddik, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. He lives there in Tzfas. Let's go tell him what's happening, and maybe with his tefillos and his bracha, we'll be able to have a special help from Hashem. And so, very fast, they went, a few of the Yidden, and they went as fast as they could to Tzfas, to see the Arizal. And when they got to Tzfas, the Arizal was waiting for them in front of the house, and he was smiling. And as they were getting down from their camels and their donkeys, the Arizal said, don't worry, you have nothing to worry about. Don't be afraid of the king and his gzeda, because Hashem is going to help you. Just go back, and whatever money that you collected, give tzedakah to the poor people of your city, and the rest of the money you don't have to collect, and the king is not going to bother you anymore. But in case you do have any kind of a problem, I'm going to send you something with one of my shluchim. And in case the king will give you any of a problem, all you have to do is show this thing to the king, and you'll see what it is. Now go home and tell the people of Syria, tell the Jewish community what I said, and don't be afraid. Hashem is going to help. And they got right back on their donkeys and their camels, and they rode back to their city, and they went back to the shul, and they told the people what the Arizal said, and everybody was very, very happy, and they gave the money for tzedakah. And the next day, at the end of the 24 hours, they didn't hear from the king. They didn't know exactly what happened. And during that time, a shliach came from Tzfas carrying something for the Rav. And the Rav put it away. It came in a box. The Rav put it away. And nobody knew exactly what it was. Now, Kinalach, I'm going to tell you what happened in Tzfas after the shluchim left. I mean, after the Rav and the Yidden came from Syria, they left. The Ari went back to the shul, and his students were there, and it was time for them to go on learning Torah. But the Arizal said to his students, right now, we're not going to go on learning, but we're going to go for a walk in the fields. But I have to take something with me on this walk. I need three things. And he called one of his students, and he said, bring me a long rope, bring me a parchment like you write a Sefer Torah on, like a big page, and bring me a pen. In those days it was a feather and a bottle of ink. Bring me a pen to write with, and